the discussion between Jaimini Rishi and Maharaj Janamejaya, the son of Parikshit, who was explaining how after Maharaj Parikshit heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami, just before ascending to the spiritual world, his beloved mother Uttara inquired from him, "Please tell me the essence of what you learned from Shukadeva Goswami." We are continuing the narration of Parikshit Maharaj to his beloved mother. Narada Muni, he's such a transcendental personality that his traveling, he doesn't have to worry about hijackers and all of this. Narada Muni, he travels with the speed of mind. He just sits. He's in Shiva Loka. He meditates on Sutala Loka, and he goes to Sutala Loka. As he's approaching, he sees Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is sitting in a secluded place with his consciousness absolutely absorbed in meditation on the lotus feet of his beloved worshipable Lord Narayan, who appeared in the form of Narasimha Dev. When Prahlad Maharaj saw Narada Muni coming, he recognized, "This is my spiritual master. Such a merciful Guru Maharaj. When I was an embryo in the womb of my mother, my mother, who is the wife of Hiranyakashipu, was kidnapped by the demigods. But Narada Muni came just to save my life. And he preached Bhagavad Dharma to my mother, knowing that she'll forget everything, but that I will remember." Prahlad Maharaj surrendered at the lotus feet of his spiritual master as an embryo within the womb of his mother. At this time, he's a great king, but he never, ever, ever forgot the mercy of his Guru Maharaj. This is nature of Vaishnava. Vaishnava never forgets a favor that someone does for him or her. But a Vaishnava should very easily forgive and forget any offenses that is done toward us. Materialistic people, they'll never forget offenses that they have suffered. But they easily forget favors. How is it that friends become enemies? Someone who helps you when you're down, when they're down, you spit on them, you kick them in the head, and you walk away. That is material consciousness. But for a devotee who has a grateful heart, if anyone ever, ever, ever helps us to take one step toward Krishna, we are eternally grateful. If that person acts against our spiritual interests, we will offer our obeisances from a distance. But we should never hold any ill feelings toward those who have helped us. Prahlad Maharaj, he was such a Vaishnava that his father, Hiranyakashipu, somehow or other, no matter how demonic he was, still on some level he helped Prahlad. Father has to do something good for his son on some extraordinarily, grotesquely superficial level. But Prahlad was grateful to that. And he honored and respected his father always. Not to speak of his Guru Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was so happy to see Narada Muni. He bowed down. He offered Narada Muni an honorable seat. And then he wanted to offer puja to his spiritual master. But Narada Muni was so ecstatic that he would not allow Prahlad to worship him. Rather, he began to cry in ecstasy and embrace Prahlad again and again and again. Why? Because he considered Prahlad Maharaj to be superior to him. He considered him to be the greatest of all devotees. Narada Muni wanted to serve him. Does this sound strange? The guru considering the disciple worshipable better than me? Srila Prabhupada several times told us that it was his prayer that every one of his disciples would become better than him. More Krishna conscious, more love of Krishna, better preachers, more empowered. That was his prayer. Of course, if a disciple ever thinks he's better than his guru, then that egotistic mentality, he is condemned in the eyes of Krishna. This is the humility of Vaishnavas. But still the guru is feeling. So we hear in this narration such a sublime relationship. Prahlad considers himself an insignificant piece of dust at the feet of his Guru Maharaj, and his Guru Maharaj considers that my disciple is millions of times better than me.
Hare Krishna.
In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada describes Dhruva Maharaj. That when he was going back to Godhead with Vaikuntha, residence. He said, I cannot go because it was my mother that first taught me to worship Vishnu. She's my Vartna Pradashika Guru. How could I be without her? And the residents of Vaikuntha pointed to the sky, and sure enough, already his mother was on her way to Vaikuntha. So Srila Prabhupada said, this is my prayer. That one of my disciples can be such a pure devotee that he will pray for me to also go back to Vaikuntha. In Gaudiya Vaishnavism, everyone is a servant. Everyone is in the mood of humility. We explain the author of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. At the very beginning of this book, he is giving all credit to the mercy of his disciple, Rupa Goswami. Narada Muni simply wanted to glorify his disciple Prahlad Maharaj. He began to play his veena. And he cried out, O Prahlad, you are truly receiving the greatest mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. From your very childhood, you are a pure devotee of the Lord. You never had any inclination toward sense gratification. When Prahlad was a tiny child, he will be completely immersed in remembering Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna. He would weep and cry when he would be chanting. His hairs would stand on end, his limbs would tremble. Sometimes he would feel Krishna touching him. Sometimes he would see Krishna and chase after him. He was totally absorbed in Krishna. He worshipped the deities. He was always making offering to the deities. Narada Muni continued that when you were only 5 years old, Hiranyakashipu outrageously persecuted you and you tolerated everything. He threw you in pits of venomous snakes. He tried to trample you by deadly elephants. He had rakshasas slandering and blaspheming you, trying to stab you to death with tridents and swords. He threw you into the ocean and put mountains over you. He threw you from the top of mountain peaks. He tried to crush you with massive stones. He tried to burn you alive in raging fire. He fed you deadly poison. But Prahlad, you never complained. Krishna, why are you doing this to me? I'm your devotee. With a grateful heart, you accepted every situation as the mercy of the Lord and continue to remember him and chant his holy name. Generally, when an ordinary devotee is put into situations where there are severe obstacles to his life of happiness, that devotee will give up. When we're trying to execute a particular type of service, and it appears impossible to do, or at least very, very inconvenient, where there's threat of great material loss, devotee gives up. But Prahlad Maharaj never gave up. Srila Prabhupada, in the mood of Prahlad, he never gave up. Every possible obstacle, his health, heart attacks, his age, no money, no friends, people trying to kill him, no support, help, or even encouragement from anyone. He didn't give up. Mahajana yena gata sapanta, because we must follow in the footsteps of the great Mahajans. And Prahlad is one of such great souls. And so is Narada Muni. It is said in the English language, it takes one to know one. Narada Muni understood, and therefore he was able to truly extol the glories of his disciple Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, your power of devotion is so great. You were the only devotee in an entire kingdom of rakshasas. And yet, you influenced the demons to become Vaishnavas. His classmates, he made them all devotees. He got them all chanting and dancing in bliss, convinced of the teachings of Bhagavad Dharma. And for his father, although he was only five, and Hiranyakashipu was the ruler of the universe with all the boons of Brahma, Prahlad was just so simple and polite. He praised his father, "O best of the Asuras." Now, if someone called you, "O best of the Asuras," that would be an offense. But for Hiranyakashipu, that's the ultimate praise. He's proud of being Asura. He's the best. And then he would tell him that you are simply living in the deep, dark well of materialistic attachment. You're chewing that has already been even chewed. You're a fool. You're an ignorant miser. You should give up this palace. You should go to Vrindavan. You should worship Krishna. Hare Krishna. by hearing and chanting his glories. Through his fearless preaching, he made so many devotees. And the fact is, even millions of years later, he is making devotees. That is the power of a Vaishnava's devotional service. How much strength, how much faith, how much determination, how much knowledge we gain by hearing about Prahlad Maharaj. The service of a pure devotee is eternal, and it has everlasting effect on anyone who comes in contact with their association. Prahlad Maharaj, you sing, you dance, you're like a madman, completely absorbed in love of Krishna. Such spontaneous love I have never ever seen. Narada Muni continued that Lord Brahma, who happens to be Narada Muni's guru, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Garuda, Lakshmi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, disregarded all of them when he appeared as Narasimha Dev. But he honored only you. He could only be pacified by your devotion. Although he was raging with transcendental anger, and even Lakshmi and the demigods could not approach him, he took you, Prahlad, and put you on his lap and embraced you like a mother to her child and licked your body with his tongue out of love. Prahlad, you are certainly the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord. Lord Narasimhadev offered you the boon of mukti, but you refused it because you wanted devotional service birth after birth after birth. You pray that I don't want even elevation to the spiritual world. As long as there's one fool or rascal who's forgetting you, I want to be here to help them to remember you. Although Prahlad, you rejected the boon of liberation. You rejected elevation to the spiritual world. When the Lord asked you to take the throne of the civilization of Asuras, you accepted it. Why? Because as the king of the Asuras, it gave you the opportunity to preach. And that was your life. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, there's no one who is more dear to me than one who preaches my message. Srila Prabhupada, when he was so ill due to old age, he would say about his body that this old body is nothing but a bag of bones. There was nothing on it. Take me to London. What is this? He said, I'm a preacher. Let me preach to my last breath. Giving mercy, giving compassion. That is the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad, one time, you are on your way to Naimisharanya to have darshan of the Supreme Lord, Pitambara, who wears a beautiful golden dhoti and golden chadar. On your way, when you approached Naimisharanya, you saw a very strange person.
He was dressed as a sannyasi, but he was holding a bow and arrows. Being the king, you understood that you must protect the world from hypocrites. So you challenge this strange personality to fight. At the beginning of the fight, Prahlad, you said, "I vow that I will defeat you." It was a terrible fight. You know, it went on for many days. One morning, before the fight began, you were worshiping your worshipable deity of Krishna. You placed a beautiful garland that you made with your own hands around the deity. Just then, you saw your opponent coming to fight you. He was wearing the same garland you had just put on the deity. And you looked at the deity and the garland wasn't there. Then you realized that I've been fighting with my worshipable Lord, Sri Krishna, who has taken this form to test me. You approached the Lord and offered your obeisances and surrendered to Him and begged forgiveness. The Lord offered you all boons, but you did not want anything. Then, with a very heavy heart, you told the Lord that I'm a kshatriya. For a kshatriya to break his word is worse than death. Now, what am I supposed to do, my Lord? I vowed that I will defeat you. But I can't defeat you. You're the worship of the Lord of my life. At that time, Lord Narayan spoke. Prahlad, my dear child, I am always conquered by your love. When Narada Muni spoke those words, Prahlad, I am always conquered by your love, Narada Muni went into transcendental ecstasy. He started dancing and singing like a madman, tasting the nectar of Prahlad Maharaja's glories. As he was dancing beside himself in happiness, he said, "Prahlad, Prahlad, I will stay with you. I will never leave you. By your power, the curse of Daksha will have no effect on me." Prahlad Maharaj lowered his head, very much embarrassed by what his spiritual master had just said. He bowed down at the lotus feet of Narada Muni and became very quiet and spoke very softly. Now we see Shiva and Brahma, and all the others Narada Muni went to, when he praised them, they became angry in their humility. Prahlad was also a little angry, but you cannot speak angry toward your spiritual master. So he spoke very softly. He said, "My dear Guru Maharaj, please reconsider what you just said. How could a child understand the sublime science of devotional service? Lord Narasimhadev, he appeared. He protected me by his causeless mercy. But then he disappeared. And I'm simply waiting always for the opportunity to serve him in separation.
But oh, my beloved Guru Maharaj, why should I describe my misfortune of being immersed in a fathomless ocean of separation from my beloved Lord? If I describe my wretched, unfortunate condition, it will only make you unhappy. Please consider the Lord's mercy on Hanumanji. Hanuman lived in the personal association of the Lord continuously for 11,000 years. Although I'm sitting and I remember the Lord, what service am I doing? Remembering is one thing, but Hanumanji, he is continuously for thousands and thousands and thousands of years engaging in the personal service, carrying out the instructions of the Lord. He is certainly the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. Then Prahlad Maharaj, very eager to divert the attention of praise to someone else, began to extol in great joy the glories of Hanuman. He was born from Anjana. Therefore his name is Anjaneya. He is known to be the son of Vayuni, although his foster father was Kesari Raj. When he was just a little infant monkey child, his mother Anjana told him about all the delicious fruits that are in the forest. He went into the forest, and there he saw the rising sun. He took sun to be big, delicious fruit. So he jumped to the sun. How fast he was flying! Right toward the planet. Meanwhile, his father, Vayudev, was very worried that he would be burnt. So he followed right behind him, sending up very cool airs to keep little Hanumanji comfortable. Now, Surya, the Lord of the Sun, he saw Hanumanji coming, and he understood that he's a great personality, and he's going to do great work for Lord Ram in the future. So he made his rays very nice, so they didn't in any way discomfort Hanumanji. Now that day happened to be, astrologically calculated, a solar eclipse. So as Hanuman was coming toward the sun from one direction, Rahudev was coming from another direction. When Hanuman saw the big planet Rahu about to devour the sun, he thought that Rahu was food. So he went right toward Rahu. Rahu was terrified. This little infant monkey was flying at him so fast, so fearlessly. Rahu ran to Indra. Said, "Indradev, don't you remember? You gave me a benediction that at specific given times I'm able to devour the sun and the moon. It's my time today." But instead, this little baby monkey, he wants to devour me. You have to protect me. So Indra got on his elephant, Airavata, big, big elephant, and followed Rahu. And when they came in the sight of Hanumanji, Kani immediately attacked Rahu, and Rahu ran for his life.
Then he saw Airavata, the elephant carrier of Indra, and thought he was a big piece of fruit.
He charged at Airavata. Airavata was so much fearful, screaming like an elephant, "Indra, save me! I'm your servant."
At that time, Indra took thunderbolt and hit Hanumanji on the side of his chin. Shri Hanumanji fell down to the earth unconscious. Vayudev Singh, the condition of his little baby, began to weep. He was also very much disturbed. He brought Hanumanji into a cave. And as Vayu was lamenting to teach the devatas a good lesson, he used his supernatural powers to withdraw the wind from the universe. Wind means air. What happens when there's no wind? First of all, everyone has a very acute respiratory disorder, because they can't breathe. Not only can they not breathe, but any movement of our joints is because there's air within our joints. When you have arthritis, it means your bones, there's not enough air between your bones, correct? You can't move properly. So when he withdrew all the air, all living beings became like stone bricks. Nobody could move a single limb of their body. They couldn't even blink their eyes. Everyone was motionless like statues, and they couldn't breathe. And also, natural medicine sciences know that in order to pass urine and stool, you need air in your system. So everyone became constipated. And their bladders were full, but they couldn't get it out. This is the condition of the whole universe. Everyone was having asthma attacks. They were breathless. They couldn't move. They were like statues. And at the same time, they were constipated and had to pass, but they couldn't. So the demigods were in terrible misery to see this. And they were also suffering like this to some extent. They went to Lord Brahma. And they prayed to Lord Brahma, "Save us, please. We need air." Brahma said, "Well, what do you expect? You made this little infant child, Hanuman, or Indra named him Hanuman because he hit him in the chin. You made little Hanumanji lifeless. What do you expect? Vayu is naturally teaching you a good lesson. We should all go down. And we should give our choicest benedictions to this little baby." So, headed by Brahma, all the principal demigods approached. And Brahmaji sprinkled some water from his kamandalu, and Hanumanji came back to external consciousness. Brahma gave the benediction that you will live a long life in this body. If you so desire, you could live as long as me. And you can change your form anytime, anywhere you want in the service of the Lord. Indra gave benediction that your name is Hanuman. And just as I hit you with my thunderbolt, I give you the blessing that every limb in your body will be harder than my thunderbolt and invulnerable toward any type of attack. Surya gave him the benediction that I will give you 1/100th of my effulgence. And when you reach the proper age to go to school, I will be your teacher personally. Varuna gave him the benediction that you'll never ever be in any danger from any body of water. If we study these benedictions, we see how Hanumanji used each and every one of them in his service to Ram. Yamaraj gave the benediction that you will never see my rod of punishment, and you will never throughout your life ever get sick or ill by any type of disease. Shiva gave him the benediction that you will be immune from death at the hands of myself or anyone else in the universe. Vishnu gave him benediction that, Hanumanji, you will be the greatest devotee. Agni gave him the benediction that fire can never harm you. And Vishvakarma gave him the benediction that you are immune even from the greatest of all celestial weapons. He was also given benedictions by so many other demigods that no curse from anyone could ever hamper your service to the Lord. So little baby Hanuman, he knew very well the power of his benedictions. So he became a very naughty child. Who could stop him? He would play, and he would go to where the rishis were performing their meditation, and he would start jumping on their backs. They would go to bathe in the river, and they would put their clothes down, and he would take the clothes and rip it to shreds with his teeth and his nails. He would steal their books and hide it. He was so many things. He was jumping everywhere. So sages, they loved him dearly, but in his childhood, these pranks were causing too much disturbance. So with the permission of his mother and father, the great sages who were followers and descendants of Angira Muni, without anger, but with compassion, they pronounced a curse on Hanuman. That you will forget all of the powers and benedictions that you receive unless someone reminds you. So then he became very respectful. He would bring water for them. He would wash their clothes for them. He would bring prasad for them. He would bow down to them. Prahlad Maharaj continued that Prahlad Maharaj, due to these benedictions and due to his unparalleled devotion, he was fearless. In the service of the Lord, Sri Ram, he was entrusted with the dearest service of finding Sita. Out of the millions of vanaras in the monkey race who were searching for Sita all over the planet, Ram personally gave his ring to Hanuman. He said, I know that you will be the one to find her. Because he was the one with the intense desire to please his Lord.
When it came to pass that they found out that Sita was under the captivity of Ravana in Sri Lanka, 800 miles or 100 yojanas across the ocean, there wasn't a single one of those monkey soldiers that could cross the ocean and come back. But Jambavan, he was very old and he knew the histories. He told Hanuman, you could do it. Don't you know your powers, Hanuman? This is nothing for you. Yes, yes, I could do it. I could go around the whole world, around the whole universe by the power of Ram's mercy. He got up on that mountain and he leaped. As he leaped, he flew so fast that all the trees and the rocks and the herbs and everything else from the mountain, due to the wind of the vacuum, started following behind Hanumanji. He was utterly determined to do his service without any obstacle. And for Hanumanji, even convenience, comforts, or any type of rest was an obstacle. You see, there's many type of obstacles, but we can categorize them today in two. One type of obstacle is a miserable situation that makes your service unpalatable and impossible to perform. And another type of obstacle is when nice, comfortable arrangements come that can slow down your devotional service and compromise your determination. So the beautiful golden mountain called Mainda arose from the sea and invited Hanuman. 800 miles is a long way. Come and rest on me for some time. Now Hanumanji was thinking, no, my Lord has sent me on a mission. There is no time to think about this body. Just to honor, he touched the mountain, offered obeisances, and flew forward. Then Suras. Suras was mother of the Nagas. She came as a big, big, big form with a huge mouth. And she wanted to swallow Hanumanji. She made her mouth 10 yojanas. Hanuman became 20. Her mouth became 40. He became 80. Her mouth became 100. Then Hanuman shrunk in size to the height of a thumb and entered into her mouth, walked around for some time, and then came back out. He said, you have received a benediction from Lord Brahma that no one can pass you without you eating. Well, you ate me. Now I'm out, so the price of the boon of Brahma has been respected. Now please let me go. And so, oh, you are very intelligent, Hanumanji, you go. I bless you that you will be victorious at your mission. He continued. He was flying in the sky. All of a sudden, he couldn't move. Another terrible Rakshasi demoness named Simika. She grabbed hold of him by his shadow, by her mystic power. Then she opened up her mouth, and he grew and she grew, and he grew and the mouth grew. But he understood she's a very wicked, bloodthirsty Rakshasi. So when her mouth was so, so big, again he reduced his size to like thumb, and he walked into her mouth and traveled down her throat into her chest and walked right up to her heart. And then with his nails, he ripped open her heart. She fell into the water, screaming, "Dead." Hanumanji continued his travel across the ocean. He reached Sri Lanka. There he resumed his ordinary size. And the predominating deity of Sri Lanka, whose name was Lankini, she stopped him. "I am servant of Ravana. No one enters the city without my permission." She slapped Hanuman. Now, for any of you Matajis that think it's all right to slap Brahmachari, listen to this story. Hanumanji is the best Brahmachari. But in the service of Ram, he punched her right in the face. And she fell to the ground. And then she got up and offered her obeisances. She said, "This is very good, very good. Lord Brahma gave me benediction that no one could pass me. But when that day comes that a monkey punches you and you fall to the ground, you should know that he is the messenger of Ram and he will conquer the whole city of Lanka. So now, my dear Hanumanji, with all blessings, go in and conquer the city of Lanka." He entered, small size. By that time, the moon was rising. It was night. Very dark. Actually, the moon was in the middle of the sky. Everyone was sleeping. He was traveling around looking for Sita. Going from one house to another. In Sri Lanka, there were beautiful mansions. Everything was bedecked with precious gold, diamonds, rubies, emeralds. It was the most opulent city in the world, by material standards. But he could not find Sita anywhere. After searching for hours, he was becoming discouraged. Then he saw the king of all mansions, the residence of Ravana. He saw Ravana lying on his big, big, soft bed. His 10 heads. His arms showing scars from his fighting with Indra when he defeated him. Hanuman was thinking, if this person was only a devotee, what a great personality he could be. He saw all these beautiful, beautiful women with instruments in their hands around the bed of Ravana. But he could not recognize Sita. He continued his search. Hanumanji was thinking, here I am a brahmachari, and I'm secretly going into the inner quarters of all these matajis and looking at them sleeping and scrutinizingly examine each one to see if they're Sita. This is not according to the principles of brahmacharya. However, because it was the necessity of doing for the service of Ram, he continued on with conviction. He saw the principal queen of Ravana named Mandodari. She was so beautiful. He was thinking, this must be Sita.
But after examining her very carefully, he understood, it cannot be Sita. She is not flawless.
He saw Pushpaka, the chariot, airplane chariot that Ravana had stolen from Kuvera. It was in a high place. Hanumanji stood on that, overseeing the whole of Sri Lanka, but he could not find Sita anywhere. Finally, when he was about to give up, he saw a little grove of trees called the Ashoka Grove, and he went there. And there he saw Sita Devi under one tree, weeping and crying as she was in separation from Ram, and she was being bitterly harassed by other Rakshasis. After they left her, she started crying out the name of Ram with tears of separation in her eyes, and she took the cloth that was tying her hair braids, and she was about to take her life with that. But then she cried out, but Ram, still I have faith that you will save me. But where are you? Where are you? At that time, Sri Hanumanji began to extol the glories of Sri Ramchandra. This brought great life to Sita. She was wondering, where is the sound coming from? Then Hanumanji came down before her and offered his obeisances. Immediately upon seeing Hanumanji, Sita said, you are Ravana! Just as you disguised yourself as a sannyasi renunciate to deceive me, now you have come in the form of a monkey to deceive me. Get out! I am Ram's chaste wife. I will never succumb to your wicked ways. Hanumanji began to narrate to Sita certain qualities of Ram that only his most intimate associates could know. When he gained Sita's confidence and explained who he was and his life history, then he gave Sita the ring of Lord Ram. She was pacified. Hanuman assured her, I will take you on this very day back to Ram. Just jump on my back. Sita said, I know, if you're the messenger of Ram, you could conquer this whole city. But for Ramchandra's honor, let it be that he comes here and conquers Ravana and takes me back. They spoke for some time. Hanuman guaranteed her that Ram and Lakshman, in the bitter separation from Sita, are just coming. So he fulfilled his mission. But a real servant will never end his service when he fulfills his specific responsibility. A devotee always wants to do something more. So he was thinking, this Ashoka Grove is the favorite garden of Ravana. Let me test the military strength of Ravana so I can inform Ram and Sugriva. So he started tearing apart all the trees, uprooting them and breaking them. And there was a beautiful, beautiful citadel, mansion building, which was like the emblem of Sri Lanka. He destroyed it. He started ripping it apart and punching it and powdering it. The news came to Ravana that there's a monkey just causing havoc Ravana sent 80,000 soldiers. In a matter of minutes, Hanuman killed them all. Then Ravana sent the sons, five of the sons, powerful sons of his leading ministers. Hanumanji killed them all. Then he sent some of his major generals of his army. Hanuman killed them all. Ravana then sent his own son, Akshaya Kumar. It was a good fight, but Hanuman killed him. Ravana then sent his eldest son, Indrajit. It was a good battle. But Hanuman was thinking, I want to be defeated by him because I want to meet Ravana face to face. So Indrajit sent a particular astra. It was given to him by the gods. And it formed like a rope and captured Hanumanji. Hanuman was very happy. He could have got out of it, but he didn't want to. He wanted to have a good talk with this Ravana. So they brought him before Ravana. Ravana blasphemed him. Who are you? What nonsense you have done? You deserve to die. Hanumanji said, I am the messenger of Ramchandra, and he's coming, and he's going to kill you. If you have any intelligence at all, give Sita back. Otherwise, the abode of Yamaraj is waiting for you. That's a big insult to Ravana. And Ravana is not a person who can control his senses. He just flew off in anger, kill him, kill him. Vibhishan said, you cannot kill him. According to Kshatriya conduct, he's the envoy of the enemy. You must respect him. You can punish him, but you cannot kill him. Ravana said, we must cause more pain to him than death without killing him. He's a monkey, a low-class monkey. And the pride of a monkey is the tail. Light his tail on fire. Therefore, wherever he goes for the rest of his life, he will be humiliated. So they took his tail. And they wrapped it with cloth and dipped it in oil and set it on fire. Then Ravana said, just to humiliate this rascal monkey with his burning tail, just drag him through the streets of Sri Lanka and let everyone laugh at him. So Hanumanji was thinking, very good. I want to see exactly how the city is constructed. I want to see as much details about the Sri Lanka so I could report to Sugriva and Ramchandra. So he was taking notes in his heart of everything he was seeing. Meanwhile, some of the ladies informed Sita that Hanuman's tail is set on fire and he's being dragged through the streets of Lanka. Sita had such love for her son, Hanumanji, her devotee. She prayed with her heart of hearts to Agnidev that if I have been a chaste and pure wife to my beloved husband and consort, Ramchandra, if I have followed principles of chastity and purity throughout my life, if I have properly pleased Lord Hari by my worship and service, then please grant me this benediction that the fire on Hanuman's tail will not burn him, but rather that
fire will feel refreshingly cool. As Hanuman's tail was burning, it wasn't just a little fire. That fire was, he has a big tail. It was blazing all around him in all directions. And yet Hanuman was feeling like nice ice being rubbed against his tail. So he understood this could only be possible because Sita is praying for me. So in his heart of hearts, he was feeling the mercy of Mother Sita. So he was in ecstasy. After he finished his tour of Sri Lanka, he decided, now I'm going to do some real service for Lord Ram. He broke out of the ropes that were bounding him, and he just picked up a big steel bar that he found and started killing all the guards by smashing them to death. Then he jumped up on the terrace of the nearest mansion and with his tail set it on fire. Hanumanji had the perfect body of monkey. You have seen how monkeys jumped from one rooftop to another when we were in Vrindavan. Hanumanji was running, jumping from one rooftop to another. And he was going in order of the majestic significance of each mansion. He was going to Ravana's generals, his prime ministers, his greatest political allies, and he was jumping from roof to roof effortlessly. He was in bliss, and every house flames soaring to the sky. Then he came to Ravana's mansion and lit it on fire. He was dancing like anything on Ravana's mansion. He went to every building of Lanka except Vibhishan's. Then he stood on a very, very tall tower and looked down. And he saw the entire city burning. It was burning. So hot. So uproariously that all that could be heard was screaming. A major part of the population of Sri Lanka was burnt to death. People were running. They were in total confusion. They were in chaos. And these big, beautiful mansions made out of gold, silver, precious metals, diamonds, rubies, and everything else, they all just melted into liquid and were just flowing down the streets. Within a matter of only minutes, the entire city of Lanka was nothing but ashes. Shri Hanumanji ki! As Hanuman was looking down and seeing all this, a thought came to his mind. What about Sita? Sita's in that fire. I may have killed Sita. Every part of my mission was a success. But if Sita is harmed, then it's better if I never even came here. He started to reflect in his mind as tears were flowing from his eyes. If Sita is no longer alive, then Ram will die of separation. Then Lakshman will die of separation. Then Bharat will die of separation. Then Shatrughna will die of separation. Then practically everyone in Ayodhya will die of separation. And I will be called the cause of the extinction of the whole race. And throughout the world there will be nothing but crying and weeping.
But then he was thinking, ah, I'm seeing many auspicious omens in the environment. Now, in previous ages, auspicious omens told very, very accurately what the status of the environment was. Then he was thinking that Sita gave me the benediction that I would feel no heat in my tail when it was burning with fire. So certainly, fire cannot harm Sita. Then some of the celestial Chanaras, they started singing a beautiful song to Hanumanji that Sita is very protected and very happy and proud to see the wonderful service of Sri Hanuman. Then Hanumanji came to the Ashoka Grove, where just around Sita everything was untouched by the fire. He bowed to Sita's lotus feet and she blessed him. She said, please stay with me for one day. You are Ram's devotee. I cannot bear the separation from you. When you see Ram, just to make sure he's convinced that you met me, tell him this particular story that no one but me knows. Sita blessed Hanumanji, and then he returned. Of course, in the ocean, he put the fire out from his tail. Then he jumped back across the ocean. And when he came close to where Sugriva, Jambavan, Angada, and the others were waiting, he screamed, victory cry! And when the monkeys heard this, they started dancing. Hanuman has returned. He is victorious. Hanumanji gave him a full report. And they were just jumping and jumping and dancing. And it was a big festival. Let's go tell Ram. They returned to Kishkindha Kshetra. There they went to Sugriva's favorite garden called Madhuban. And they had a big, big festival, eating the fruits and jumping and dancing, and the whole garden was a mess. The gardener tried to stop them, but they just pushed him away. Hanumanji then went to visit Lord Sri Ram. Ram was waiting very eagerly. He gave him a full report. Sri Ram was so very grateful. Hanumanji wanted to tell him one story that Sita told him. That when you were living in Chitrakoot, you were sitting on a stone together, and a crow started to claw with his beak and his claws on Sita's body. And although the two of you were resting and sleeping, it woke her up and she found that she was bleeding. And he kept doing this again and again and again. And when you woke up, you saw blood was flowing. You asked Sita, who has done this to you? This person is digging his grave. And then you saw the crow, who was Jayant, the son of Indra. And very angry, you took a piece of kusha grass that you were laying on and invoked a mantra to make it into a celestial missile, and you threw it at this wretched crow. The crow flew away, trying to save his life. He went to Indraloka, Brahmaloka, Shivaloka, all the lokas, and they all said, we cannot help you. Then he came back and surrendered at the lotus feet of Sri Ram. And Ram, with the permission of
Sita forgave him, but said, when I throw a weapon, it must have some effect. So it pierced his right eye and blinded him. But in the process, the crow became purified. When Ram heard this story, an intimate story that no one knew except him, Sita, and Jayant, he was in bliss. And when he heard how he pacified Sita's heart, Ram became so much overwhelmed with affection. He said, Hanumanji, you are a real servant. You not only executed the mission, but you did so much more. I am so obliged to you. Ram was glorifying Hanumanji as if he had five mouths. And he said, Hanuman, for what you have given me, I have nothing to repay you. I'm a recluse with no possessions, living in exile in the Dandakaranya forest. And now here I am in Kishkindha. I feel my heart breaking in pain that I cannot give you anything in return for your service. There's only one thing I have that I can give you, that with exclusive love and affection for you as my devotee, that I will embrace you. Then Lord Sri Ramchandra, with tears of love in his eyes and ecstasy of affection for his devotee, causing all of his limbs to tremble, Lord Sri Ramchandra embraced the body of Hanumanji to his chest. Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan ki! The ultimate benediction is to please the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj continued that Hanumanji, how much he pleased the Lord. After this, to bring Lord Ram to the ocean side, he became his carrier. He had Ram and Lakshman jump on his back and he carried them to Rameshwaram. And when the sun was out, he picked up his tail to make it into an umbrella to shade him and keep him cool. When they arrived, it was Hanumanji who was one of the leading directors to construct that bridge. 100 yojanas wide and 800 yojanas long to bring all the military forces to Sri Lanka. And Hanumanji carried Ram and Lakshman on his back. It was Hanumanji that was a principal agent to destroy the Rakshasaya. When Indrajit was fighting, he sent a particular astra that was given to him by Lord Brahma. This astra caused innumerable arrows to just shower like a torrential monsoon rain on the entire army of Ram. And Ram, Lakshman, and the entire force of soldiers was laying on the ground completely defeated. Only Vibhishan and Hanumanji were untouched. So they were walking around looking to see if anyone was still alive. Everyone appeared dead. Some people were just groaning in pain. Meanwhile, Indrajit felt, we won. He went back to Ravana and said, everyone's dead. You're victorious, O Father. And Ravana was celebrating in Sri Lanka.
Meanwhile, as they were walking, they found Jambavan laying there. He was in so much pain. He was old. So Vibhishan spoke to him, "Are you still alive?" Jambavan said, "Vibhishan, just tell me one thing. Is Hanuman still alive? That's all I want to know. Is Hanuman still alive?" Vibhishan was stunned. "You're not asking about Ram. You're not asking about Lakshman. You're not asking about anybody else. You're only asking about Hanuman." He said, "Because if Hanuman is alive, we will be victorious. If Hanuman is gone, we cannot. There is no hope." Hanuman happened to be standing right there. He said, "I'm here. I'm here, Jambavan. Jambavan Prabhu, I'm here." Jambavan was laying there. He said, "There's a mountain. Only you can find it. There's a hill called Rishab. From there you look from that direction, and there you will find Mount Kailash. Then you go to Mount Kailash and you look in another direction, you'll see two mountain peaks, and between the two mountain peaks you'll see another mountain. And it's full with rich herbs, medicinal herbs. You must find the particular herb called Vishalyakarana. And there's three other types of karma: Sanjeevani Karana and some others. But this Vishalyakarana was very critical to get." So Hanuman went. When he arrived, first he went to Rishab Hill. He saw Kailash, went to Kailash, saw the two peaks, there was the mountain. But the herbs were so afraid of Hanuman, they went into the mountain. So he was very angry, these nonsense herbs. But this was not an obstacle for him. He just pounded that mountain and said, "There's no way that I'm going to be stopped from my service. You see what I do to you, O mountain." He ripped off the peak of the mountain, picked him up with his hands, and jumped back to Sri Lanka. When he arrived, just the scent of the herbs entered the atmosphere and brought everyone back to life. Those who were wounded had perfect health again. Those who were dead immediately came back alive. Something interesting to note: none of the Rakshasas were brought back to life. Do you know why? Because Ravana made a policy that any Rakshasa that died was thrown into the ocean immediately, so that the monkeys would not be enlivened to see the dead bodies of the Rakshasas. So because they were all under the water dead, they didn't smell the herbs. The fight went on. Lakshman killed Indrajit. Later on, Lakshman, on behalf of Ram, was fighting with Ravana. Ravana threw his most powerful javelin. It soared through the air and struck Lakshman in the chest. He fell down. He appeared to be dead. Ram began to weep that if Lakshman is dead, then I am dead. I cannot live without him. He has given his life for my service. At that time, one of the great generals of the monkey army, Shushena, he was also a doctor. He said, "There's four particular herbs. Predominantly, Vishalyakarani.
Hanumanji, he told them where this particular mountain is. It was called the Mahodaya Mountain. So Hanumanji ran to that mountain. Not ran, he jumped. He jumped so fast. It is explained that the speed that he could fly in the air, only Garuda, Vayu, and Hanuman could match. When he arrived, he couldn't figure out which of those four herbs were the herbs, because there were so many herbs richly growing on the mountain. So he lifted up the entire mountain and with one jump came back. Shushena went on the mountain, took the herbs, ground them up, administered them to Lakshman, and immediately he came back to his consciousness. After this, Ram vowed, "Now Ravana will die." It was just after this that Ram personally challenged Ravana and killed him. Prahlad Maharaj was extolling the unlimited glories of Sri Hanumanji. And how Vibhishan, he was a devotee trying to talk good sense to Ravana. But he was rejected by Ravana because he was trying to preach the truth to him. Meanwhile, Hanumanji was extolling the glories of Ravana's little brother named Vibhishan to Ram. When Vibhishan came to the camp of Lord Sri Ramchandra, the monkey soldiers understood he is from the Rakshasa dynasty. He's the younger brother of Ravana. He should be arrested. And he wants to meet Ram? It was by Hanuman's influence that he was brought directly to Lord Sri Ramchandra. And there he surrendered his life. And there was a fast, intimate, loving relationship from then on through all eternity between Hanuman and Vibhishan. It was Hanuman, Prahlad Maharaj spoke to his beloved Guru Maharaj, who united Sita and Ram. After Lord Sri Ramchandra killed Ravana, he sent Hanuman to bring the news to Sita Devi. And he served them faithfully. And now, this same Hanuman, he lives in a planet called Kimpurusha, where he's absorbed in the ecstasy of love in separation. It is only because he's constantly hearing and chanting the glories of Sri Ram that he lives. Go to him. He is the greatest of all devotees. He's always worshipping his deity of Lord Ram. When Lord Sri Ram offered him a boon of liberation, he refused it because he only wanted to serve the Lord birth after birth after birth. Go, go Narada, go to Kimpurusha Loka. There you will find the glory of the service of Sri Hanuman, who is certainly the greatest recipient of his mercy. When Narada Muni heard this, tears flowing from his eyes, hair standing on end, limbs trembling, he called out, "How wonderful! How wonderful! How wonderful!" And thus he traveled to Kimpurusha Loka to meet with Sri Hanumanji. Tomorrow evening, we will discuss the continual travels of Narada Muni as he approaches Hanumanji, and then from there it becomes very exciting. How sweet and wonderful it is to hear one devotee glorifying another. Let this be our New Year's resolution. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that one who chants the holy name and sees the good in others and does not offend others, he is certainly a candidate for pure love of God. When we hear the lives of great personalities, this most sublime truth is illustrated. Mahajano yena gatasapanta. So let us pray that we can follow in the footsteps of these great persons. Throughout Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the devotees are glorifying one another, and in the process they become so very, very, very excited to dance and to chant.